Good morning.
Hey, Seattle.
As always, it's your girls, Jasmine and Shantae.
Welcome to another Thursday morning and another episode of The Way with Jazz and Tay.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
Will it be the way or not the way? Find out and join the conversation.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning. Welcome to The Way with Jazz and Tay. It is your girl, Jazz and
Shantae. Happy Thursday morning, you guys.
Another gray Thursday in Seattle.
I was gonna say super sunny day. Not.
Hey, it's on the outs by the end of today, and it's going to be a great 4th of July weekend, girls. Think optimistically, okay?
You're right.
I just want to know why it always has to do that.
Because that's why we do things here.
It's weird because the other day it started off like this too, and then we ended up having a beautiful afternoon.
See?
Yeah.
I mean, it's done that every day since I've gotten back from New York.
Yeah, and welcome back too, by the way.
Yes, actually. So talking about New York, Shantae, do you want to give us a recap of what your last week was like?
It was really chill. I mean, I feel like I've had everybody ask me what my last week was like, and it wasn't like a typical New York trip, but I was able to walk around a lot. We went to the Brooklyn Bridge Park on Friday. We went to Central Park on Wednesday. And we did a lot of like outdoor stuff, just hanging out. They were in phase two, so I was able to go to a couple of restaurants.
Oh, cool.
But outside of that, we didn't really do much of anything. It was basically me going to quarantine in New York. But the weather was nice all week. It was like 86 every day.
Oh, that is beautiful.
The sun was up before I was up.
That's because you're still on the West Coast time.
Right.
I mean, that's true, right? You're still, yeah.
I mean, ish. Well, I was getting up at like 6 a.m. over there, and the sun was already up. Like, there'd be days I'd get up, and it would already be 80, and I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like you're out camping, and you're stuck in your tent. Yeah. You go, it's too early. It's too early.
It's too
early.
There's a hot one out there today. You can already tell.
All been there.
Gonna be a scorcher.
Right?
Yes. Yes, but it was a lot of fun. It kind of got me back on my whole, like, I'm ready to move again. I just don't know where. I've always been thinking about that for at least, like, the past 5 to 6 years.
As soon as I moved to Seattle, I was thinking about getting
basically
out.
Ever since I graduated college, I've been like, so, yeah. That was my week in New York. Unfortunately, while I was out there, I actually got really bad news. One of my uncles passed away. It wasn't related to coronavirus or anything, but I haven't been to Atlanta in probably 3 years. And so I had planned to go in May for my little brother's birthday, and it got canceled due to coronavirus. So I didn't go. And I'm just really like upset and disappointed that I wasn't able to go, because I would have seen my uncle before he passed. But I brought all of that up because, again, that's got me also ready to move. That's just the more backing. I just don't get to go home as often as I would like. And it feels like right now we're all really isolated, and I'm like, okay, anything can happen.
Yeah.
And yep. It really, really, it's sad. So yeah, I've got the travel bug and I've got the moving bug as well. Jasmine?
Yeah, you know, I've not really had a very eventful week. I posted one of my first videos to this YouTube channel I'm trying to start. So that was exciting. I've gotten more subscribers already. So that was I just wasn't really expecting that. So that kind of got me excited. So I'm ready to kind of start pushing out more like content. And then work has been driving me crazy. My role's changing. I'm exhausted. I need something's got to give here. So yeah.
It's very interesting how in like Corona time, it's like, it's very nice to have a job, but it's also a lot different than, you know, your normal job would be. So
oh, yeah.
It feels like you're doing so much more. And it's like, not that you're not grateful, because I'm sorry. I say all of this to say I feel the same way a bit. Like, work isn't crazy, but like there's no there's work, you know, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. So like there is work to be done. And it's super weird to see that in this time of in lockdown and in the time of Corona, because so many people are losing their jobs and they don't
have work. And that's what like I'm seeing too, is that like a lot of people lost their jobs right at the beginning of this, but a lot of people have been like slowly losing them as like companies are slowly starting to like feel the brevity
and adjust to their
ways. You know, so it's like everyone is essentially going through this. And same, like you said, I'm very grateful that I have a company that wants to work with me and wants to keep me and all of that stuff, you know, but it's just so different than the job that I signed up for. And I'm just like,
outside of our weekly recaps, I really quickly wanted to update everyone. On Sunday, we will be recording a live special episode called Fine Wine with our friend Marina. In those episodes, we bring different females from different industries and talk to them about their experience and get their perspective and just foster a deeper conversation. And so that'll be Sunday, and we will be talking to three models. So we'll be discussing the modeling industry and body modification specifically.
Mm-hmm. Y'all be so working the catwalk too?
I wish.
I know. I've walked a couple. I've walked in two shows. Yes.
Nice. Good for you.
Yeah.
Right on.
She's an actual model.
Stop
so
it.
We'll have we'll
stop all, you're like me this
okay,
whole
really
thing.
Quick. Actually, all of us have done some form of modeling. So all six of us technically have a bit of experience in it.
But, right on.
And then also Saturday is Independence Day.
Woo!
July 4th, America.
America.
America Day.
If I'm not fat and happy by the end of the day, then I'm... Yeah. I don't really care. I mean, normally I would care about the fireworks because I want to see the Lake Union fireworks show. Like, that is always kind of like the highlight of my 4th of July. Other than that, I don't care about like the local fireworks that people be putting off. If anything, it's annoying. Last year, I spent my first 4th of July here in this neighborhood, and they were going all night.
I woke up and I was like, is somebody setting up fireworks out front of our house? And like, I walk outside and
literally, yes. We don't even have a yard. Like, they were just on the street in front of our houses.
Nice. That's going to be me this year. That's my only.
I think everyone's doing that this year. I mean, I've been invited to a couple little barbecues because a lot of the public, features aren't going to be going on right now. They're, you know, canceled. A lot of events.
I feel like, are they still doing the Lake Union show? Because that doesn't make any sense because that's televised anyways. Y'all could just put on the show for the cameras and let us watch it from home.
The point is to eliminate the travel and it's to stick to the stay at home and to make it safer for everyone else during the phases. So if they say, oh yeah, let's still do the event, so many people will flock.
People are still going to go.
Yep.
You know what they should do? They should just surprise us. Like, don't tell anybody, but still do it.
A bad idea.
That way people don't really have time to do it and it still happens.
City of Seattle, you heard it here first.
Although this social modern day and age, it's going to that's going to leak out. I mean,
yeah, that's true. Nobody knows how to zip their lips anymore.
No, not at all. They're like, shh, don't tell anybody. Well, you just did.
Right.
We're going to have our own fireworks show outside of our house because I'm going to go get my hands on some.
You better hurry up.
No,
no, seriously, it's only like a couple of days, so they don't sell. I mean, they sell. You're gonna have to drive a little north to the what is it?
Reservation.
The reservation's up north for you guys, and then the south end people down Auburn and Mukilteo down that way.
Yeah, I was thinking about going south.
We could do that, honestly.
Road trip.
Yeah.
All right. So now
we are gonna jump into our icebreaker, which is a mix of that same history lesson that we did last week. It's the sound effects I get it from you. That little like what was that?
Totally.
Alrighty, Jasmine, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, I do actually. So funny story, I just realized both of our people have the same first
name.
but I'm going to include someone that was on the list from last week that I didn't get to highlight that I really did want to. Again, I kind of, you know, a lot of these people I either didn't know at all or I just knew their name, but not necessarily in depth of who they were, what their role was in the civil rights movement, etc. So with Ruby Bridges, that is going to be my historical figure of this week. Ruby Bridges is a name that everybody knows, and you might not know necessarily what she is known for. Ruby Bridges was the first African-American child to desegregate the all-white William France Elementary School in Louisiana in November of 1960. Okay, that was in 1960, which, to put into perspective, my mother was born in 1952. So my mom was 8 at the time that this happened, okay?
These people are still living.
Yes, Ruby Bridges is still alive and very well.
Fact.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But racism isn't real and in our backyards.
Right. So Bridges, who was only 6 at the time, she had to be escorted daily by her parents and U.S. Marshals due to mobs and protests and the threat of violence, solely because of the fact that people did not want their children to go to school with her. Hmm. Or they did not believe. Yes.
A child.
She was 6 years old.
That's the part that always gets me. Like, I feel like I hear stories about, you know, the civil rights movement, desegregation and all this stuff. And this one always like made me cry because like she's literally a kid.
So to follow that up with, so Ruby, the year that she went to school, she was only one of 6 African-American children who were allowed to go to these all-white schools after passing a test, okay? Mm-hmm. So they were tested. And the test was designed to be exceptionally difficult for children of their age to make it harder
for them.
So they were trying to essentially prolong the desegregation of schools. And Bridges at the time became the only person in her class, and she only had one teacher because of the fact that people either stopped sending their kids to that school or they did not want them in class with her. So that was for the entire first year that she was in school, okay? Now, on a more, positive note, let's shift gears a little bit. In 1999, Ruby Bridges actually created the Ruby Bridges Foundation. And the focus of that is to promote tolerance, respect, and the appreciation of differences, okay? And she started this after she had started volunteering at her old elementary school back in the early 90s, which had then become a predominantly Black school or African-American school, okay? Also, you guys might also know of this famous painting that Norman Rockwell painted in 1963, and it's titled The Problem We All Live With. And it depicted her being walked either into the school or out of the school with the U.S. Marshals and whatnot. And it's become so famous. It's a permanent collection now in a museum. I can't remember where. But for a period of time, the Obamas actually had it on display in the White House during their presidency. During their residency. Because they were both presidents, you know. what I find to be so incredible about that is that when I was reading about her, people always said that she never once like whimpered or cried during all of this. You know, she just kept her head held high, minded her business. And to this day, she still preaches that, you know, the hate that you feel or the racism that you have, it's all taught. Nobody is born hating each other. You know, nobody is born hating one another. So that's been part of her mission and goal, is that she understands that these children and the feelings that they felt had nothing to do with her, had nothing to do with anything that she was doing, but everything with what their parents were spewing at them and preaching to them. And that's what her mission is to try to reverse that. So that's my Ruby Bridges. Yeah, she was born in 1954. That was the year that she was born, 1954. And she's still alive and well.
That's crazy.
Isn't that?
So for my history lesson, I've actually been doing this, and I know I've talked about it in previous episodes. I did a 21-day Black History boot camp, and in this one, that's being hosted by Girls Trek, and essentially they picked 21 influential African-American women, and they told us their stories, and then also had us do a lot of fact-finding within ourselves based around, you know, their message or whatever they did in their lives. And the second to last one, so the 20th day, they did Ruby Dee, who was an actress, a screenwriter, poet, a playwright, and a civil rights activist, who was very well known in the 60s. She was born in 1922 in Cleveland, Ohio, and lived to be 92 years old, actually.
Wow.
Which she was actually active up until 2013. So she worked from like 1940 to 2013. Mm. She was married to Ossie Davis, who she also performed alongside up until he passed in 2005. They were married for 57 years. They actually were in an open marriage and, of course, later changed that. But they also had this like very cosmic love. At least that's what they said in my 21-day Black History Bootcamp. And it just seemed like one of those loves that was going to be everlasting. And it shows in the fact that they were married for 57 years. It's yeah. Like 60 years.
Up until he died, right?
Yeah. Ossie Davis was also an actor and a civil rights activist, and actually their entire family. There are photos of their entire families. They would take their kids to protest with them. And they protested during the Vietnam War, and they also protested the Iraq War as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Some movies that you may know Ruby Dee from, her very first or her probably her most well-known role was playing Ruth Younger in Raisin in the Sun. She played in the television she played in the movie version and in the onstage version as well.
Oh, okay. Wow.
In the 60s. She was in Roots in 1979. She was in a Stephen King movie called The Stand in 94. She voiced the grandmother, Alice the Great, in the cartoon Little Bill that was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From 99 to 04.
Wow.
She was in American Gangster with Denzel Washington in 04. She was in the Jackie Robinson story in 51. And Their Eyes Were Watching God in 2005 with Halle Berry. So those are just some that I know of, but wow. She was in a lot more.
What's crazy is that I'm familiar with so much of these.
So many of these.
And yet I don't think I can really place her face.
And I'm sure if you looked at her picture or anything, because I know her name, but when I looked at her picture, I was like, I can't place her either, but she's in so much that I know who she is.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to look it up too. I know who she is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
These movies, I'd be like, ah, of course that's who it is.
And bless her.
Yeah, and there's like plenty of actors, including her, that like just make little cameos, but like they have a long history. Like they're grinders. Yes. They're like grinders in movies or producers or, and this is... I know who she is, and it's like it's very similar to what you said, Shantae, as far as like you can place her. She's in a lot of it, but she kind of just fills in. It's kind of a consistent job, you know. That's cool.
Awards and accolades. So for her acting, she was nominated for the Academy Award in 07 for Best Supporting Actress in American Gangster.
Hey.
She actually won the Screen Actors Guild Award, Female Actor... the Screen Actors Guild Award for Female Actor in a Supporting Role. She won a Grammy, an Emmy, an Obie, and a Drama Desk Award.
Jeez.
She also had a National Medal of Arts given to her by the Kennedy Center on, it's a long name, but she's decorated for her acting. And then on the activism side, she actually emceed for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963 and was good friends with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King Jr.
Bless.
And Ossie Davis actually gave the eulogy at Malcolm X's funeral.
So do you know who Ossie Davis is, though?
No.
So that's her husband, of course. He was also in Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. He was the old gentleman on the street corner trying to holler up to the lady up in the window.
Interesting.
You guys got to go back. I know, right? But he was
We're going to have to go.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a big actor, too.
Yeah. They performed together. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, they were married for a very long time.
And then lastly, she was also a very outside of, you know, emceeing for the March on Washington and, you know, protesting. She was also a member of a ton of organizations that fought for, you know, civil and equal rights. And she's just someone to look up to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I see that she's a part of CORE.
CORE and NAACP.
That was the same one that, what's his name that I talked about last week? Cheney. Yeah.
What I will say is I really appreciate that we're doing this because I'm learning so much more about all of these people.
And putting so many different things together. Like we talked about Roots last week and how there were so many actors in that. And she was a part of that. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And I just love seeing that some of these people are very multifaceted. Like she was an actress and that's probably what she's best known for. But like, there's probably other people who know her better for being a civil rights activist.
And yeah,
you know, and I'm sure that the older generation or people older than us know her for both. Mm-hmm. So I just really appreciate that. And I hope that, you know, one day that's me. I hope to be a person who is very, you know, I'm a podcaster and a civil rights activist or somebody. I don't know. I just think it's awesome that she was able to do so much in her lifetime.
And she was so consistent with it.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something about that movie, The Stand, Stephen King. Mm-hmm. So they remade that this year.
Really?
And it's actually, they said it was somewhat relative or related to like what is going on with like the coronavirus.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was going to say that's something that we need to watch.
Maybe we should watch the 94 version.
We should watch the 94 version. Definitely. Oh, with Ruby D in it.
Look, Benny is finding more.
I have to do some digging here because you don't give me all the stuff for today's show, but they were the couple. Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee were the couple together. They were married in the movie too. Like,
in the movie.
Sister. Oh, what's her name again? Mother sister, the one up in the building that he was hollering to. That's Ruby Dee. That's who that is.
Interesting. Oh my god.
I was like, I know it. That's got to be her. So I was just double checking to make sure I didn't.
Yeah, they said that they performed together
multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
So cool.
Alongside each other. See, and also, can I find a love like that where we work together? That's so beautiful. And like, we've been together for 60 years. We don't have to be married today. Maybe when I turn 30.
Shantae's so a soft spot.
So I learned that to follow up on The Stand, the premise behind what The Stand is, it's a post-apocalyptic vision of a world decimated by plague and embroiled in an elemental struggle between good and evil.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to watch that.
So they're bringing it back, and they said it's going to be like a mini-series, but it's got some people in it that we are familiar with, like James Marsden.
Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
Amber Heard. That was the girl that used to date Johnny Depp that accused him of hitting her.
Right.
And Alexander Skarsgård, which
I just love that that's like how we know her at this point.
Well, she was also in Pineapple Express.
Yes.
But I don't know if a lot of people know that reference.
Maybe we lead with that reference.
Right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Is that Terrence Howard?
No, there's no. That's James Marsden. He's just really tan.
Yeah, I thought that was it. It was like a really quick flash.
Oh, gotcha. And then there's Alexander Skarsgård, which we know him from Big Little Lies. He's the Nicole Kidman's husband.
Oh, he's also Tarzan.
And
he's also in True Blood.
Oh, okay. See, I don't. That's the only thing I know. I know his name, but I don't know much about
he's in stuff.
Okay, you guys, so we're going to jump into a quick 2 to 3 minute break before we jump into our review of the week. You're listening to The Way with Jazz and Tay.
Don't stare at me. The evil eye doesn't work on me.
Mother, sister, you've been talking about me for 18 years. What have I ever done to you?
You a drunk fool.
Besides that, the mayor don't bother nobody. And nobody don't bother the mayor, but you. The mayor just tend to his own business. I love everybody.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 AM. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hey, Seattle. Tune in to The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
We have something for everyone, from Song of the Week, where we'll introduce you to local Seattle artists,
to the quirky games that we play for that little pick-me-up to get you through your morning commute. Again, that's The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT. See you guys on Thursday.
Miss a show on KKNW? Check out 1150kknw.com for podcasts of many of our programs. That's 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back
to The Way with Jazz and Tay.
Well, thank you. I liked that. Hey. That was kind of sultry.
Yeah.
before
the break, we gave you guys a history lesson on Ruby Bridges and Ruby Dee. Both extraordinary, phenomenal women Yes. who have impacted our lives and who we should all go and check out their bodies of work after this and learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get into our review of the week. Our review of the week is going to be a little bit shorter than normal. We don't have any more Insecure episodes to watch, and we're actually looking for shows to watch and review with you guys. So if you guys want to give us some...
Are you guys really bummed, though? You sound super bummed. Because you don't have any more episodes.
It was like,
how do we really explain this one?
They said it was going to answer questions, and it left us with so many unanswered questions. It's tough. Question to answer.
I really wish that we had like five more episodes, or maybe two. Just a few
give me
more.
Two. I think two would be cool. Anyway.
To just round it out, make it feel like there's a nice little bow.
So yeah, give us other show suggestions. We would love to watch with you guys. But we're going to bring it back this week to doing some new music and reviewing some of that.
Yes. So our girl, Megan Thee Stallion.
Meg Thee Stallion, the Houston Hottie. Watch as Jay call me two Tommy. Skin like gold and my teeth like diamonds. Girl chain Elliot got me shining. Yeah. They tried to knock me off, but a bitch still grind. I'm a hot girl, I do hot shit. Finish it, come on my outfit. I don't text quick, cause I ain't thirsty. So Miss Megan Thee Stallion dropped a song, and she sampled Boys in the Hood from NWA, which classic, okay? There was a tidbit of controversy with her sampling that, you know, her Eazy-E's family was going at it on the gram, but yeah,
let's just talk about
that.
They just want money and recognition, and that's really it.
It's always been a label controversy with everyone involved there, with Eazy and then with Dre staying and going and then going to Death Row and all the other. There's so many levels of like intricacies of like the music and who owns what, and it's the rights. It's silly. It really is.
Yeah. And that's really what the argument is about.
Interesting.
One of the sisters was saying they didn't understand why Megan got the rights to sample it, but they can't within the family.
Right.
And then the other sister was like, well, I don't even know why you're upset, because you haven't even been fighting for it.
Right, I saw that.
One to hop on the gram. So theirs was just really like family beef. But I want to say the song is dope.
Anytime
this beat is used, it's going to be like a good song. It's a good beat. And I love that she did a play on Girls in the Hood.
And she wrote, like, she just, the way that she rides the flow really well, the way that she made the chorus work, like, this is a great song for the summer.
Yeah.
Everybody's knees and bottoms are going to be
summer hurting. Smash, summer bang.
Still a hot girl summer, even though Corona's got us inside.
Right. We are literally in the hood at this point. So, like, we got no choice.
Right. She's like the modern day, a little bit of Easy. Like, Easy was really edgy. In fact, he was extremely edgy for the 90s and his lyricist, you know, and his way of explaining things from his area. She's just as equal to the range.
She calls herself the female Pimp C.
Pimp C, yeah.
Yep.
So
and I agree.
Give her kudos.
You know,
just raunchy, man.
There it is. There's a good word for it. Raunchy.
And on top of that, you know, she's out here collaborating with the queen. Mm-hmm. So that automatically kind of puts her up on a different level than some of these other female rappers. Cardi B.
Never.
Ooh, excuse me. Did you hear that?
Sounded like a
little dusty, isn't it? Yeah.
Little dusty. Love it. I want to talk about this new album that CeeLo put out. Mr. CeeLo Green has...
Right? I felt the same thing. Jeez. So good.
Yeah, I love. Okay. What I love about CeeLo is that this man is so, what's the word called?
Musically talented.
Yeah, he can do like between crazy and between
versatile.
That's the word. Literally, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Versatile. Yeah. And his voice, he can do this, which is like a nice bellowy kind of warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know, he just never ceases to amaze me. This album is it's a solo one. So he's not like doing Gnarls Barkley. I haven't heard any features on it, but the entire album pretty much sounds kind of like that. It's called CeeLo Green is Thomas Calloway. So that alone will kind of tell you what you're getting. It does not sound like anything that would be put out this decade. It does not at all.
It feels like something from The Temptations.
Yeah, you know.
Like he channels like the 70s for sure, like that soul, that early soul feeling of just being happy and just like getting rid of all the negativity.
When you said that, like just being happy, I'm imagining, so like the opening of that song, I'm imagining just maybe being like healed, you know, there's a breeze blowing, my hair blowing in the wind. I'm smiling, all that stuff. So... I definitely would check it out. You know, CeeLo, he's pretty low key. You know, you don't hear too much about him. He's not really somebody who's going to be out here and in your face all the time, but it's definitely worth a listen. It put me in a really good mood.
Yeah.
I was telling Shantae the other day, I listened to the entire album and I ended up getting a lot of work done. Like I listened to it while I was working and I was really focused and I didn't even realize just how good of a mood it had put me in.
So you played it while you're working for the show, while you're prepping for the show, because that's what we need to be doing.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's a good answer right there.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree with you. I think it's great. And he is. He came from the roots way back from the Goody Mob Dabes.
Right.
And I still have stuff from singles on record that I was in my hip hop days in college. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So he's somebody who's been around for quite a while too. And again, he can put out all kinds of different bodies of work, and all of them are going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Some other honorable mentions, Shantae.
Outside of those two, Black Eyed Peas dropped an album on Juneteenth,
and they're Black Eyed Peas without Miss Fergie. It's just the three of them now.
Hmm. Well, wasn't that how it was in original?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She was added into the band after.
2000.
Yeah.
on her since Where Is the Love?
Right. They kind of gave, you know, the Black Eyed Peas that real big push up into the mainstream. But before, they were just like, you know, kind of a standard little hip hop group that was just kind of making their way through the original, like, underground roots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
August Alsina also dropped a new album, The Product 3.
I'm glad to hear that he's doing well.
Yeah, I don't know, y'all. outside of him putting out an album, it was like he put out an album and then aired his dirty laundry.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it's I was just kind of like, yeah. I don't think anybody actually cares.
Wasn't it with Jada Pinkett Smith?
Jada Pinkett Smith,
yeah. Yeah, I was like, really, dude? Really? Like really?
Coattails to get to the top.
Man, like,
yeah, you've got an album probably not doing well, and now you need attention.
And here's the thing, like, I feel like we haven't heard from him in a while because of his health and everything going on in his family, that we would have listened to the album without him letting us
you know
that he was having an affair with
Jada. Just come out and say, like, hey, you know, I'm doing well, I'm all right, my family's good, I'm so happy that you guys care, because then we're gonna root for you anyway.
Yeah, we are rooting for you. The man's going blind and he's only like 23,
and now they're talking about how, you know, people from their team have said that that's not true and all this stuff, so I don't know. But yeah, dude,
I don't know. August Alsina was hanging out with them a lot, and I was like, where does he fit into the picture? And that makes more
he's
sense.
He's friends with Jaden.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Him having an affair with Jada makes more sense than him being friends with Jaden Smith.
Oh, geez, oh God.
Outside of that, G-Eazy also dropped an album. That's Jasmine's favorite rapper.
I haven't heard any of this.
You love him. You're going to go listen to it right after this.
I am going to, because I need to get, like, he always has a few songs that I heavily enjoy.
She tries to pop him like she doesn't like him.
I don't really like
you him. You do. I think he fits the build on a lot of areas, I think.
But I like, I like.
Shantae knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways,
keep it
Black talking. Dropped a 6-piece On to the next one.
It's called 6-piece.
Don't deny your feelings on this, Jazz. Don't. You
I just
know.
Like to teach Jasmine about that because she really doesn't like him, but like.
I don't know.
He looks good. He is a snack, okay? But I don't really think he adds to the music industry.
Denial.
Wow.
Denial. First Amendment denial.
Yes. Okay, so off G-Eazy, Black, I always want to call him Six Black. Black dropped an EP called 6-piece. And
six songs on it.
I'm definitely going to have to check
that
out because he always puts out really good
really
music.
Really good, yeah. I really do love his music. I don't know if this one, since it's an EP and it's short, I don't think I saw any features on it. But I've heard a few songs that come up like naturally on my like shuffling playlist and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a vibe. He never ever ceases to
disappoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Maze.
Oh, he's got one feature and it's with Lil Baby and it's called Know My Rights. So that's
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I feel like that's going to be,
I feel like Lil Baby is like turning a corner and like becoming a civil rights rapper.
He had put out another song. I wish I could remember what it's called, but it talks all about that. And I sent it to you because I was like, girl, he's low key spinning.
You know, I can really appreciate when rappers, I feel like rappers, for one, they live a lifestyle before they become rappers. And generally it's, you know, dealing drugs of some sort,
and
doing illegal activity.
And that's not necessarily who they are.
Right. And what I like is that once they become rappers, or what I like sometimes, because not all rappers do this,
right,
when they were a drug dealer, they saw the system not working, and then they flip it and they turn it into their music. That to me is powerful. You have firsthand experience. Like Meek Mill is also doing this.
21 Savage is another good
21
example.
Savage as well. After who else? J. Cole has always really done this. Kendrick Lamar has always really done this. Jay-Z. But it's just something in
the game.
I don't know. Like you literally, huh?
Oh, the game?
The game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you've got this platform and you know, you used to be a drug dealer and that's how you got into the rap business and you became famous and whatever. But like after you get the money, you got to get out of that mindset. Future, I'm talking specifically to you because way too many people in the hood are still listening to your music and we're not drinking lean.
Since we're talking about calling people out.
breathe.
that rich boy NBA or whatever, that dude that's like
NBA
20,
young boy.
Yeah.
The one dude, there's one dude that's got, he's like 21 and has like 6 kids. And he's out here fighting people and getting people to, the one, who's the one that Mayweather?
NBA young boy.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get yourself together, sir. Yeah. Never broke again. You're going to be broke again when you end up
in jail. We're not trying to like shame these people having whatever, he can have 6
just
kids, but outside
sense.
Of that, but yeah, like you're no longer in that lifestyle. You've got the money, you've got the
20
listening, man.
I know, right? Take a breath. There's a lot going on there.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Is just, you know, you gotta move smarter than that.
He's the same as Future, though. Future's got a gangle of kids as well.
And that's what I'm saying.
And he's not slowing down.
You gotta move smarter than that.
And yes, they definitely no do. They have way too many people listening to them. I'm getting on a whole rant.
Right.
We could go, this could actually be a hot topic because I would love to talk about J. Cole in this sense, but rappers have a platform. They are reaching people who think that they don't have a lot going for them. And I think that they should really change their message.
Uh-huh.
But you know, drugs, partying, and BS sells. So we'll keep doing that for the moment, but we're going to need to change it.
I love this. I love when you get really passionate about stuff like that because you just start spitting truth.
I feel like Lil Baby, when he first came out, I wasn't really feeling him. And
same.
To see him grow like this is really, really awesome. Like, I love to see it.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Next on the list is Snoop Dogg dropped a Black Music History. I love Snoop. Uncle Snoop is always winning in my eyes.
Who hasn't? Yeah.
And then Wale dropped some music, The Imperfect Storm. I'm a fan of Wale. I do. I generally love listening to him and his music. And there's always something that I can get my bottom moving to.
It's weird to me because I feel like Wale is really underrated. And like, it's like a thing. Like people do it for fun.
Well, and he says that too. Mm-hmm. He says that too. He's like, y'all sleep on me on purpose.
Yeah, it's like, it's fun for people to sleep on him, but his music is actually like, I saw this thing where they were like, oh, Wale's not even in my top 100 or top 10. And I was like, dang, y'all.
Yeah, like
I was like,
I think we talked about that recently when people were doing the top. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't see how he's not in like top 10 because he's pretty fire consistently.
Yeah. Yeah.
People just love to hate, you know?
Always.
They hate to see you doing better than him.
Well, wouldn't it be like very characteristic to the CeeLo thing, you know? Everyone's like, oh, CeeLo's just okay. And then he's on the show and he makes all this like big time stuff. And like, he's not really that good. I'm like, he's still doing it.
Right.
Like, and he's still doing it. So
it's still working.
And I'm sure he's doing so much more than what we see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's behind the scenes on a lot of projects. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like that's where it really counts.
That's a smarter move right there.
Yeah.
That's like the dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Dre and Dr. Dre.
Writing and from producing and
Dr. Dre, all those guys. Yeah,
that's what I would do. I'd be a songwriter.
I wish I could write.
I'm sure you could. There's an algorithm.
All righty, guys. So before we jump into our hot topic, we're gonna take another really quick 2 to 3 minute break. Stay tuned. You are listening to The Way with Jazz and Tay.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, when disaster erupts, when disease rages, when communities collapse under crisis, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. We go where conditions are the worst because that's where we're needed most. In nearly 70 countries, we're saving lives threatened by violence, disease, malnutrition, and catastrophic events. Donors are vital to our mission. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Hey, Seattle.
Tune in to The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
We have something for everyone, from Song of the Week, where we'll introduce you to local Seattle artists,
to the quirky games that we play for that little pick-me-up to get you through your morning commute. Again, that's The Way with Jazz and Tay every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m.
And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT. See you guys on Thursday.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Going against the grain has never been this much fun. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back
to The Way with Jazz and Tay. I'm sorry.
You're like a musical. We're doing a musical now.
You were right there. She was so close. Before we had our last break, we briefly talked about some new music, talked about some of the music that we've listened to that we really like. We've got a lot of stuff to check out.
Yeah, definitely check out CeeLo Green and definitely check out Meg Thee Stallion if you haven't already.
Absolutely.
Let us know what you think.
So for this week's hot topic, we are actually going to do a 6-month New Year's resolution check-in.
Bum, bum, bum.
Right. Because here's the thing, you know, I mean, we really went into this year talking about we're going to stick with it. We're actually going to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, then the pandemic happened.
I just want to say life looked different in January.
It really did. No, it absolutely did. And so I figured, you know, this would actually be a really great time to do a check-in and talk about what we've been able to hold ourselves to, and then also what has been hard for us to do and adjust to because of the pandemic, and what can we do now moving forward, knowing that this might be continuing.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So let's read. I love this excerpt that you threw in there. An estimated 88 to 92% of people fail to keep their New Year's resolutions. Short-term realistic goals can help you stay motivated to keep going. Did we set short-term realistic goals?
I feel like I definitely set mine up to be like short term, so like month by month there, yes, was something to get me to the full goal.
Yes.
But I don't think the overall goal
was short term. Absolutely.
Yeah. I definitely set myself up for failure, and I think it was mainly because I thought I'd be free, and I'll talk a little bit more, so I'll start mine off. So one of my New Year's resolutions was to journal or read daily, and I've been journaling way more than I used to. I find it extremely therapeutic in this time. So that is something that I'm doing. I'm not doing it daily though. So like I count that as a dub because it was something that I wanted to introduce into my life, and it's something that I'm actually doing. Mm. And then reading as well. I'm not reading daily, but I'm reading more books than I was prior to setting the goal.
That's good, same with journaling.
It's like I'm not doing it daily or 1 to 2 hours before bed, but I'm definitely doing everything more than I used to.
Hey, that deserves a well done. Yeah. Well done.
So for my reading, one way that I've helped myself to read more is I'm actually writing reviews for this company called the Girly Book Club, and they have chapters, you know, throughout the United States. There's a Seattle chapter, and they pick a book each month and then they read it. They've gone virtual since coronavirus. But they also look for people who are avid readers, and they ask them to do reviews. So I've been doing that, and I wrote my first review last week, and I've started my second book. So I'm on book 2, which, you know, hey, I could be on book 3 if I'd really gotten into Vox. But once I get to the end of my like New Year's resolution recap,
yeah,
I'll let you guys know more of what I'm thinking, essentially. I'm sorry. It's like, I'm trying not to give it away, but set up a workout plan. it was a fail.
Yeah.
I didn't do it. I worked out here and there, but I definitely could be doing a better job.
Making it more structured and having a schedule.
I think I need to tell myself that you have to work out. Like, that's a non-negotiable. It's like brushing your teeth. Like, you have to do it. Mm-hmm. So if I frame my mind like that, then I will actually do it. Or like, if I say you have to work out at least 3 times a week, then like, you have to, that's non-negotiable.
I always put it in like, frame it for me, like after work, it's like one other class period you had, you know, if you're going to school, it's the next, it's the last one, you know, everyone knows the last, you know, class or session of the day. It's like open day. Just go do it. Get it done. It only takes 30 minutes, 30 minutes to an hour. That's it.
30 minutes. Exactly. Yeah. And that's really it for me. It's like, it's 30 minutes. It's just a matter of like figuring out what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And stopping and doing it.
Signing up for a hobby class, didn't do it because COVID-19.
There are no classes to take.
Yeah. Everything kind of got pulled back a little bit.
However, I have been doing a lot of webinars and anything that I see that can help us with the podcast, I've been signing up for. So I guess those are hobbies and virtual activities that I have been doing. And then my big goal was to take the AMA Professional Certified Marketer Certification Exam. I've not even looked at it, you guys. I really need to take the practice exam, see what I need to study up on, and I could still do that. And maybe I will after this week. Jazz.
mine are pretty simple. I want to start with the easy one. So prioritizing my family now that I've said yes, which I definitely have. And, you know, the pandemic has honestly helped contribute to that because we've been forced to kind of like find other ways to stay in touch.
Right.
So that I've actually been doing really well at. Now with taking my physical and mental health seriously, physical health, definitely not. And that is something that I should like with what, and we together can honestly help each other with that. But my mental health, I've gotten closer to knowing where I need to start, but I haven't actually taken the jump. So there's no excuse there, but I guess I just have a better understanding now of kind of what help I might need and what resources I might need to research. Honing my skills professionally and showing growth. Again, the pandemic has really thrown a wrench in this.
I feel like you have though.
I don't know.
In a different way. Like, it's probably not in the way you'd envisioned it, but I feel like you've definitely been kind of like, your career path has been kind of
that is
realigned or redefined.
Way to see that one, Shante. Good to see that one.
I know, right?
Hey, that's a room easier for.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for shining a different light on that.
Good job, right there.
So yeah, at the end of the year, we'll revisit and see what we've done in the next six months.
I also just want to add one more thing before we do our recap in law and sign off, but we've also been doing a lot more podcast work. So like, that's one thing that wasn't on our goals, but in the back of our mind, we knew that we needed to do more, and we've been doing so much more.
Absolutely.
And I think that suffices as us, you know, really holding ourselves accountable and, you know, getting into this weekly groove and trying to put out great content for you guys. So that's a win.
Absolutely. That's absolutely the way.
And there's more content coming.
Yes. All right. So let's do a quick recap. Both of our last weeks, I would say, were the way.
My last week was right.
Yeah. You know, all things considered.
Yeah. It was interesting. It's like I had New York, but also a passing. And I was like, that wasn't what I wanted.
You had a lot to work with.
Yeah.
Our icebreaker history lesson, Ruby Dee and Ruby Bridges.
The way.
Definitely the way. And I would love to continue that.
Yeah.
Our review of the week, new music, Meg Thee Stallion and CeeLo Green. Definitely the way.
Hot Girl Summer is always going to be
always.
The way.
And we'll let you know about the rest of the stuff that we mentioned.
Yeah, we'll check out a couple of those.
I can't give you an honest feedback right now. then our New Year's resolution check-in. I'm going to say all in all the way.
Yeah.
Because now we're here, it's back in our mind and it's fresh. We're holding ourselves accountable that way. And we've taken small steps. Let's just round it out for the year.
Absolutely.
I like it.
6 months left.
Ah!
Thank you so much for tuning in today. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Tune in next week.
Bye.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into The Way. Catch you next week, same time, same place.
Follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT.
Don't be afraid to DM us if you have any questions or suggestions about the show. Until next time, bye.
Peace.